The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Well, good afternoon. 306 here, News Talk 105.9 WMAL, where we're making sense of the news. And boy, buckle up today. Coming up, I've got James O'Keefe stopping by this hour. Do not miss it. He caught a Pfizer official bragging on hidden camera about mutating viruses for profit. Oh, yes. We'll talk to James about it. Bob Good, the congressman from Virginia, joins us here at 4 o'clock. We'll talk about election integrity. Angela Morabito joins us as lefties all across the country panic that Ron DeSantis may be fixing history courses, making them teach actual history. Tom Fitton is here at 5 o'clock today from Judicial Watch. And then at 5:30, Jeff Landry from the state of Louisiana, the attorney general there, as we may find out more information about the communications of federal government officials, that is Biden administration officials, who have been censoring the internet in order to destroy conversation and trample on the First Amendment. You can join us at 888-630-9625, 888-630-WMAL. Today, as we speak, Joe Biden in Springfield, Virginia, speaking among a steam fitters union, the guys who work on HVAC stuff, he is out there today making ridiculous claims about the economy, claiming that the economy is in great shape thanks to him. Now, don't believe your eyes. Don't believe the cost of eggs. Don't believe the cost of gas. Don't believe your dwindling paychecks. Don't believe any of those things. Believe Joe Biden as he steps out today and insists, man, it's just so great, isn't it?
It came out today, this morning, and I'm not sure, and I mean it sincerely, the news could have been any better. Economic growth is up, stronger than expert expected, at 2.9% we're growing. Jobs are the highest in American number and the highest in American history.
I love when he does numbers. It's just the best. He's just unable to deliver them.
And wages are up, and they're growing faster than inflation. Over the past 6 months, inflation has gone down every month, and God willing, will continue to do that. Manufacturing jobs continue to go up stronger than any time in the last 40 years. And I don't think it's unfair to say that this is all evidence that the Biden economic plan, because y'all, is actually working. It's working.
You know something? I think we probably should assess these numbers. Let's do that with the in-house economist for the Vince Colonnais Show. EJ Antoni joins us now. He's the research fellow at the Heritage Foundation as well. EJ, great to talk to you, sir.
Vince, great to be with you.
Okay, so Biden says inflation has gone down every month the last few months. I'm pretty sure that is a lie. If the inflation number continues to go up, it has slowed a bit, the extent to which it has gone up, but it has not gone down, has it?
No, it's exactly right. In fact, if you look at the monthly numbers, in other words, how much prices have changed from month to month, that's been erratic at best. It has not been a steady downward trend. But something that we actually talked about in January of last year was how we're having a base effect. In other words, the months prior had such large increases that as we start to exclude those months from the year-over-year calculation, that we're going to see the headline number decline, even though the monthly number is going to, as we said, behave erratically. That's exactly what we've seen.
Right. But in other words, we're not experiencing deflation. He's making it sound like your dollar's traveling a lot further now. I'm pretty sure most Americans are poorer today.
No, it's exactly right. And if you want to look at the average American, right, the average American family, something, again, that we've talked about before, you've seen wages go up nowhere near as fast as inflation. Yes, wages are up. And yes, that's a good thing. But when prices are up even faster, you're not better off. And so the average family has lost $6,000 in terms of what their money can actually buy.
Tell me about these economic numbers this morning. He was saying this is as good as it gets. You couldn't ask for a better economic report. Is he right?
I mean, it would have been better if they were literally just the same numbers from the previous quarter. I don't know how everything getting worse can possibly be a sign that things couldn't be better. Mm-hmm. If things had stayed the same, they would have been better. I mean, yes, it's true. Consumers were able to, you know, to purchase slightly more this quarter than they were in the previous quarter. Okay, yes, that's a good thing. But how are they affording it? They're affording it by driving their savings down to almost nothing. They're putting their expenses on credit cards. I mean, none of those are sustainable, and none of those are good signs.
You assess this morning, as the numbers were coming out, real disposable income fell over $1 trillion this past year. What does that mean in practical terms?
In practical terms, it means that wages are not keeping up with inflation. It means that taxes are too high because real disposable income is not just your income that's adjusted for inflation, but it's also after taxes. So people just do not have enough money left at the end of the day in order to make it from paycheck to paycheck. And that helps explain why savings fell $1.6 trillion. And again, why credit card debt is now at a record high. People just literally can't afford to live in Biden's America.
The number you compare it to, you say this is the second worst drop in real disposable income in American history, only behind the Great Depression. That is how bad things are.
Yes, that's exactly right. So, you know, if you want to just talk about, well, real disposable income fell over $1 trillion, the economy is a lot bigger today, right, than it was years ago.
Yes.
So it doesn't really make sense to compare it in dollar terms. So look at it in percentage terms. The only time in American history we have had real disposable income drop faster, again, in percentage terms, was 1932, which was the worst year of the Great Depression. So please stop lecturing us, Mr. President, on how the American consumer is so strong and how we are so much better off now than we were in years past.
Another data point that you are paying attention to is housing affordability. Tell us about that number.
Right. So the Atlanta Federal Reserve, one of our regional Federal Reserve banks, actually has a metric where they look at a lot of different factors, such as how much a home costs, what the interest rates are for you to be able to borrow to afford that home, what your real disposable income looks like, which, as we already said, is falling off a cliff. So they combine these and other factors to see, okay, how affordable is a home for the average American, for the median household? And what they have found is that it has fallen to the lowest measure since they started using this metric. And again, it's not hard to see why. We have inflation, which has driven up home prices. The Federal Reserve is belatedly raising rates to try to bring that inflation down, but they're having to fight these record high government spending levels, which is helping to goose that inflation. And on top of it all, you know, again, now we have real disposable incomes just absolutely falling off a cliff, which is why people are having to spend on average almost half of their take-home pay.
Yes.
On housing.
72% of middle-class families say that they are financially behind now because of inflation. 72%. The overwhelming majority, that's Republican and Democrat, who of course are saying that and are getting clobbered by the Biden economy. You heard in that audio clip that Biden wanted to take credit for the state of this economy. In fact, I saw Ron Klain, the outgoing White House chief of staff, earlier today tweeting that the so-called American Rescue Plan ended up saving the economy. Is that your impression?
Well, first, I think it is absolutely correct that the president should take credit for this economy. The only thing is that he needs to take credit for the actual economy and not what he would like the economy to be.
I think you're referring
because,
to the blame.
This is largely
yes.
his fault.
Yes.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Maybe credit's not the right word. You're right. Mm-hmm. Maybe blame is the right word. Look, what the American Rescue Plan did is it literally cut job growth in half. That's not an exaggeration. The data are available. Anyone can look them up. If you look at how much jobs were growing on a monthly basis, they were cut in half after the American Rescue Plan was passed as compared to before that, right? It helped, again, to drive inflation up to 40-year highs. It has impoverished people, not made them better off. I mean, to cite that is just the epitome of ignorance.
No question. And Biden has admitted to this in the past. Biden has said that the American Rescue Plan in particular stoked inflation. That he said the irony is that people have more money now. That was he was bragging about it. That's why all that money that he injected into the economy, the end result is inflation got a lot worse.
Absolutely. And again, you know, you have had a Federal Reserve that has been complicit in this nightmare, because instead of raising rates, instead of making all that government borrowing prohibitively expensive, they decided to go along with virtually everything Biden asked for. And now only belatedly are they raising rates. And so what they are doing is, after having created all of that inflation that impoverished so many Americans, now they're going to crush the private economy in order to take some of that money back out of the system. So the federal government gets you coming and going.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. I'm glad you're here to assess it. As always, EJ Antoni, in-house economist for the Vince Colanay Show and a research fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you for having me.
Of course. Yeah, that's some live reaction to Joe Biden's speech in Springfield, Virginia today, claiming credit and, of course, deserving blame for the state of our economy. Just things are crappy. That's the truth. They have been. And it seems like every time we play whack-a-mole with one thing, oh, gas prices are coming down a little bit. Egg prices exploded. What? And then you see some improvement. You're like, oh, inflation is not quite as bad as it was before. Home prices have exploded. Everywhere. It's constantly something else is rearing its head. And EJ, to his great credit, as he digs through all of this these numbers, he's finding all sorts of interesting things. Like, do you realize, like, a lot of the GDP that they're claiming, the growth that we had in the last quarter, that was just from businesses filling but being unable to sell their inventories. They're filling up their inventories, but they're unable to sell. So what does that mean? Because the cost of those goods is so high right now. And the cost to acquire those goods, also high, I should point out. So it's not like the businesses are just making massive profits. They're not. People can't afford them, and they're not purchasing. So inventories have filled up for these businesses. And what are they going to do with those full inventories? Well, they're going to have to get rid of them at some point. How do they get rid of them? They liquidate them. They sell them at a loss. So this creates more problems for the economy going forward. That's not how you get growth. That's how you shrink an economy. So all of this today, all of this bragging about the state of the economy, it is window dressing on a failing economy, unfortunately. You wish it was better. So Biden today in Springfield, they make this, you know, the White House is making this out to be, and they have the talking points out all over the place, the New York Times, the Washington Post. This is the president's 2024 pitch. This is his pitch today, that he's going to put lipstick on this pig of an economy. And say it's great, and then say that the people who will actually make it worse are Republicans. So today, he's doing the MAGA extremist speech again. In addition to claiming that the economy is great, he's standing up there on stage saying that it's, quote, MAGA Republicans who are going to wreck it. Take a listen.
Look, we're moving in the right direction. Now we've got to protect those gains. We've got to protect those gains that our policies have generated. Protect them from the MAGA Republicans in the House of Representatives.
This guy's such a divider. This guy is such, and he's deceptive. He's lied about everything in his entire biography. I know the Democrats, they love this George Santos character. George Santos has nothing on Biden.
Who are threatening to destroy this progress. Look, you know, this ain't your father's Republican Party. This is a different breed of cat, as they say.
Very
you know, it's hard as it is to believe they want to pass legislation to do the following things.
Get ready. Just get ready. Just get ready for this.
I've been saying this. No one believed until I start to introduce this stuff. They want to raise your gas prices. They want to cut taxes for billionaires.
They want to raise gas prices. Republicans want to raise your gas prices. That's the plan. The people who are arguing for more drilling, The people are arguing for more American supply of gas. That those people are trying to raise your gas prices. Does that make any sense whatsoever?
Who pay virtually only 3% of their income now.
This guy wants to run cars off of windmills.
3% they pay. You know, a babysitter pays more than that. And we they want to impose a third. This one I love. They want to impose a 30% national sales tax on everything from food, clothing, school supplies, housing, cars, a whole deal, 30%.
It sounds shocking, doesn't it, when he puts it that way? They want to impose a 30% national sales tax. Are you familiar with the fair tax? Are you familiar with this concept? It's been kicking around for years. For years. A lot of conservatives have talked about this. Essentially, at its core, it's you erase every other federal tax. There are no other federal taxes. None. No income tax, no business taxes, none. You get rid of every federal tax on the book and you say, the only taxes you're going to pay are on the things you consume. That's it. So the federal government will generate revenue is through consumption. You can like that idea. You cannot like that idea. But the reality is, the whole point of it is not to raise taxes. It's to make taxation fair, to make it functional. That's the concept. And so what he's doing is lying. It wouldn't raise taxes. A $5 product will still cost $5. Except we'll remove all of the taxes from the supply chain. It brings the product down in price, and then you tack on a little sales tax on it at the end where the consumer purchases it, it goes back to the same price again. And then you pay a consumption tax. That's it. That's the whole concept. Yes, it's a totally different idea in America. But at least it's designed to not create a completely unwieldy tax system. Goodbye filing your taxes. There's no need for that. All you want to buy something, you pay a little federal tax on top. That's the concept. No more income tax. None of that. No taxes on your capital gains. None of that.
And beyond that, they're actually threatening to have us default on the American debt, a debt that's been accumulated over 230 years. Okay.
No. Yeah, they want to keep you from driving us into the ground. It's just, you know, the New York Times has a piece on it. They say that Biden wants to run for president. He's likely got a reelection bid going, and he wants to attack Republicans and claim the economy's in great shape. That's his plan.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
That's his plan. And by the way, he's also looking for a distraction from his document scandal. Let's be honest about that. The classified documents and his son. There are quite a few problems going on in the Biden household right now. Dave's in Washington, D.C. is on line one. Dave, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Vince, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you wanted to weigh in on the fair tax?
I do. I was listening to what you're saying, and some things I wanted to add to it. So you're talking about the federal taxes being removed.
Right.
That includes things like the 911 fee on your utility bills. So all these hidden taxes are going to be removed.
Right.
You pay taxes only on new items. So if you buy a used house, you won't pay tax on it. You buy a used car, you don't pay that tax on it.
Is that how it works?
Kinds of, I believe so, yeah. I believe... had all kinds of bipartisan support.
No, it did. And it was, you know, like I said, it's a concept that's been around for years and has gotten very little traction. Now a couple of Republicans support it. But honestly, like, it's not like Kevin McCarthy supporting this thing. And yet Biden wants to run against it and then lie about how it actually gets implemented, because that's kind of his deal, the whole lying thing. James O'Keefe joins us next. We're going to talk about Pfizer and how they're souping up viruses, according to one of their own officials. Good afternoon to you. 3:35 here on News Talk 105.9 WMAL, where we're making sense of the news. Coming up, Congressman Bob Good joins us from the Commonwealth of Virginia. We'll talk about efforts to make our elections actually work again. The congressman has got some ideas. Angela Morabito joins us at 4:30. We'll talk education with her. Ron DeSantis trying to root out the cult, the left-wing cult that is putting propaganda inside of the curricula across the country. The left is angry about it. Tom Fitton is with Judicial Watch. He joins us at 5. And the Attorney General of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, is here at 5:30 trying to expose some of this Biden administration censorship of the internet. You can join us today at 888-630-9625, 888-630-WMAL. Do you know the name Jordan Tristan Walker? Well, if you don't, you may soon know it pretty reflexively. He's becoming very famous very quickly because he is a Pfizer director of research and development who was just caught on hidden camera talking about how the company is doing work to mutate COVID via something called directed evolution in order for the company to make more drugs for you. Take a listen to this. Project Veritas caught this audio.
Pfizer ultimately is thinking about mutating COVID?
Well, that is not what we say to the public. No, don't tell anyone this. We're exploring, like, now, you know how the virus keeps mutating?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we're exploring is, like, why don't we just mutate it ourselves so we can preemptively develop new vaccines, right? So we have to do that. If we're going to do that, though, there's a risk of, like, as you could imagine, no one wants to be having a pharma company mutating fucking viruses. You have to be, like, very controlled to make sure that this virus that you mutate doesn't create something that, like, you know, goes everywhere.
Something
which
crazy.
Is the way that the virus started and moving on. To be honest, like, it makes no sense if this virus popped out of nowhere. Like,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, so apparently we've jumped from the pages of a sci-fi novel to real life, and here we are. The man behind Project Veritas, who we always enjoy talking to and always appreciate his journalism, joins us now. It's James O'Keefe. He's the founder of Project Veritas and the author of American Muckraker. James, good to talk to you, sir.
Hey, Vince, great to be with you.
Tell me about Jordan Tristan Walker. He's a director. There are people who are higher up than him at the company, but he's a real deal guy, isn't he?
Yeah, this is a guy that is a mid-level director, three steps below the CEO. He's got a doctorate. There's a lot of reports, Vince, circulating that that this is not a real person. This is a real person. In fact, we've obtained internal Pfizer documents showing that he's a real person. In fact, we've obtained the staff chart for Pfizer internally, and so we know that he actually works there. He works on the mRNA scientific planning, and he talks about experimenting with animals. This video, Vince, is the most watched video in the history of Project Veritas, got some 13 million views right now on there alone. It's become an internet phenomenon. Pfizer has not officially responded. We've called for comment. However, they have disabled their comment section on TikTok and other medium, which is very indicative and illustrative of how seriously they're taking this. And there's more to come. We have another one coming out in just a couple hours from now.
I'm not surprised. Pfizer is moving to censor internet spaces yet again. They had at least one of their executives working to censor people on Twitter throughout the pandemic who expressed that natural immunity might have been good for you. I have noticed that quite a few of this guy's own social media pages are disappearing from the internet as we speak.
Yep, that's right. And he, you know, people are doing some deep dives on his background. He apparently went to Yale, got his medical degree in Texas, has been working for a number of years. He's not a low-level guy. I had an encounter with him two nights ago. We're producing that and putting that out imminently. And it's one of the more riveting and bizarre encounters. One of the things that he'd say to me was that he is trying to help people. So some confirmation there that they're doing the right thing. And also spoke to his supervisor, his colleague, but no one will talk to us. And, you know, part of the problem, Vince, is that a lot of the media companies out there have corporate advertising. They're brought to you by Pfizer. You know, that's what you hear on commercials.
Yeah.
So it's really important for there to be independent journalism, which is what Project Veritas does.
So I'm trying to figure out, you know, what all of this science is. So he claims in the video that Pfizer is it your understanding that this is actively happening, or it's something that Pfizer is planning to do, direct mutation, directed evolution of these viruses?
He's talking about that it's something that they're actively planning, and they're having meetings discussing, and they're, quote, exploring. Why don't we just mutate COVID ourselves so we could create new vaccines? Quote, if we're going to do that, there's a risk of, as you can imagine, having a pharma company making effing viruses. And then he says, quote, please don't tell anybody. Promise me that you won't tell anybody. and they talk about how they put the virus in monkeys, cause them to keep infecting each other, and talks about how you have to do this in a very controlled environment.
Yes.
When you mutate this, so it doesn't go everywhere. And then he also confirms, this mid-level Pfizer executive, that the virus, he believes the virus started in Wuhan. So a lot of these people will say things privately. We've seen this before.
Right.
We've seen a number of these, but they just won't say it publicly.
Well, putting the viruses back and forth between two different mammals over and over and over again does sound awfully familiar, because that was kind of the arrangement going on in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. They called it passaging, and they were using mice with humanized lungs in order to conduct what we know now as gain-of-function research. But in this video that you've gathered, in the undercover video, he claims that this is somehow different than gain-of-function. It's not the same?
Yeah, it's sort of a word game. And I was on Twitter space last night. I'll probably start another one tonight after I release this next video. And it seems like they're saying it's not gain-of-function. They're calling it directed evolution. But a lot of the doctors that we interviewed basically said that it is gain-of-function. But a lot of our subjects believe that they just change the language of what they're doing. If they change, they refer to the substance of what they're doing, it changes the substance of what they're doing. It's very postmodern, but we've seen that time and time again.
Yes.
To avoid accountability.
Yeah, that's a Fauci move. Fauci, sitting before Congress, was pulling the same stunt over and over and over again. And the reality is, I don't care what you call it, if you're making viruses more infectious and dangerous to humans, you are doing something that is that most people would disapprove of, actually, if they knew about it.
Correct. And I think even people on the left would disapprove of it. And it's sort of interesting. There's no negative comment, no hateful things. There's only one Newsweek article that come out, which is it's just hilarious to read, because they're talking about the editing of the video and interstitials and sound on camera from James. It's like, why don't you just write an article about how they write New York Times articles if we're going to deconstruct sentences, rather than actually address the merits of this? And a lot of people say, well, I don't know if the real person. It's like, well, here's all the internal documents showing his Pfizer email address and the staff chart. You know, and it's fascinating to watch these media organizations have cognitive dissonance and refuse to do any verifying or corroborating on their own when the guy's literally on tape and you see his lips moving.
Yeah, they're not interested in speaking truth to power. They're defensive of power. They close ranks around power as quickly as
right.
possible. So you put this out. The media's reaction to it, is it to attack you for editing the video, which you're supposed to do if you do an act of journalism? You should edit it to make it something that somebody can actually consume. And here you are doing that very thing. And and this came out what time yesterday? This was late last night, around 7, 8 o'clock?
Yeah, it came out at 8 o'clock. It's currently 3:45. It's got some 12.5 million views on Twitter. Most watched video ever. Most engaged tweet ever, at least
yes.
us, and that's saying something. And I would say the media reaction has been wasn't The Guardian. It was Mail Online. Daily Mail put up an article, then took it down. I think there has been some concern that not a real human being. It's almost hard to believe that a big pharma executive would say these things, but he did. We stand by our reporting, and you will see my encounter with him imminently. It's one of the most riveting things you'll ever see. He got aggressive. He attacked the cameraman. He smashed the iPad on the floor and much more. And that really tells you a lot.
When you say he attacked, you're talking about a physical assault or something?
There was a physical altercation with our security detail and him. It's something, and it's coming out shortly, and I hope that makes journalists interested in actually doing work. I think we're at a crossroads, we're at a turning point, whatever you want to call it. The pendulum is, I think, swinging back, because I think people are interested in this sort of journalism. They're more interested in this sort of journalism than in corporate media covering up for those in power. That's really not interesting anymore, I think,
yeah.
to most people.
Well, this is why the left really hates Elon Musk being at the head of Twitter. The fact is, your video is still up. It remains unmolested at this hour, which is a good thing. People can see it. It's getting tens of millions of views. And as a result, we're in this bizarro universe where Pfizer's PR team thinks that they don't have to respond to this so long as the New York Times doesn't talk about it. Is that where we
Correct.
Are?
Correct. That is exactly where we are. And I don't think we've reached the turning point yet where where I still think we need legacy media to cover our work for it to really have legs. But I don't know if we're at that turning point yet. But Elon taking over Twitter has maybe we're there. Most people consume their information from Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and those sort of places. So we might be there, but those companies, those corporations, those government agencies, they just have this veneer and cognitive dissonance where as long as the New York Times isn't asking their comment, they think they can ignore it. I think they're wrong in the long tail. I think that won't work over time. It works right now. Because most Americans, maybe more than 50%, just believe what they're told on Wikipedia and CNN. But that is changing.
The only other thing that might compel them at this stage to respond is if members of Congress who have actual power begin to vocalize concerns. Have any Republicans, to your knowledge, said anything about your reporting?
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. I would say without breaking confidence, the majority of Republicans in Congress are passionate, interested, and helpful to Project Veritas right now. But we need a Democrat. I mean, there has to be first of all, the Senate doesn't have subpoena power. I mean, the House might, and Congress has enumerated powers. They can do all sorts of things with the government and with agencies and with corporations. But I mean, you need my goal is to have a couple Democrats go, this is outrageous. Right. We've had school politicians do it. But come on. I mean, I don't even care what your view is on the vaccine or Pfizer or any of that. I don't care what political views are. It's wrong to lie to your consumers and to admit you are doing that. It's wrong to say I am lying and I am hiding this from the public. I mean, the arrogance, the lack of introspection, the narcissism on display here. I think that everyone should be against that. And I need at least one Democrat, I know that this is a broadcast in Washington, D.C., to come out and say this is wrong. That's where we're going to make progress.
Yeah, I mean, Pfizer has maintained this very cozy relationship with the government. Because especially, look, I mean, they're making all their money off of the COVID vaccine. So, and they're able.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Able to get free advertising. The government pays for all the advertising. No side effects listed. They're able to push the jab all over the place. The government mandates doing the very same thing, helping Pfizer's bottom line. It's definitely enriched them as a company. Remember going back to the election, the 2020 election, Pfizer withheld efficacy data until the election was concluded, released it right after the election to say, yeah, actually, the vaccine's great. The vaccine that Donald Trump had put so much effort into helping to support while he was president of the United States via Operation Warp Speed, they didn't even release the efficacy data until the election was over. And so at some point you go, wait a second, the deception, a little much for a company that's supposed to be helping people with medicine.
Yeah, Walker also says that the revolving door for all government officials, with the FDA. He says, quote, it's pretty good for the industry. It's bad for everyone else in America. What an extraordinary confession by this Pfizer executive. Quote, great for us. It's horrible for Americans. And he says, when the regulators reviewing our drugs know, this is a direct quote, that once they stop regulating, they're going to work for the company.
Yes.
They're not going to be as hard towards the company that's given them a job. What an admission. And that's why we need more videos like this and whistleblowers.
That's James O'Keefe. That's exactly how we got the opioid crisis. The FDA signed off on Purdue Pharma's OxyContin drug and soft pedaled the addiction risk. And then the guy who was in charge of that went and worked for Purdue Pharma after he left the government. I mean, it is just, it's exactly that arrangement.
I'll leave you, your audience, this. You know, we're a nonprofit, tax-deductible organization. I hope you donate to Project Veritas. We take no advertising money. We're not brought to you by Pfizer. We're not brought to you by anybody. No one tells us what to do. So I hope you donate, but I also hope people understand that this is not a political story. Everyone's got their tribal political views against for the vaccine. I don't really have a perspective on. I'm not a scientist or a doctor. I'm a journalist. It's wrong to lie to people. It's wrong to lie to the public when you have that much power. Just be honest is all I ask. And that's why I think this is not a political story. This is a story about lying to the people. Support Project Veritas by donating at projectveritas.com or by sending us a tip at veritastips@protonmail.com. We appreciate you guys out there who support us. I know many of you do. And stay tuned for the most riveting, bizarre, entertaining, enlightening interaction between me and this guy out probably about 30 minutes.
Things get physical, we're told. James O'Keefe, thank you very much from Project Veritas. Good to have you today. All right, Republicans, you just heard me talking about James O'Keefe, now in charge of at least one house of Congress and hopefully using that power for some good. We have seen Kevin McCarthy find a new gear this past week as he went after Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell and Ilhan Omar and tossed them all from a number of important committees. Said, hey, look, you can still be on committees. You just can't be on the important ones, the ones that actually take care of the nation's business, have access to intelligence, and have to do with the nation's safety. You guys can all move on. So they're all throwing hissy fits. Adam Schiff announced today he's running for Senate in an act of retaliation. I'm running for Senate now. Okay, good luck, Adam Schiff. Eric Swalwell is a ridiculous human being. But speaking of Adam Schiff, let me go back to him for a moment. He announced that he was kicked off the Intelligence Committee in the most classic, wonderful way possible. It's just amazing. So the guy who's, again, was supposed to be on the Intel Committee, he was on the Intel Committee, safeguarding the nation's secrets, decided that he would whine to his adoring fans, because apparently he has those, he would whine to them that he was kicked off the Intel Committee on a Chinese-controlled app.
Hello, I'm Congressman Adam Schiff with some troubling news. Today, Kevin McCarthy removed me from the House Intelligence Committee, all for doing my job, for holding Trump accountable, and standing up to the extreme MAGA Republicans. We knew it would be bad when the Republicans took over, but it's far worse than we expected.
It's far worse than we expected. It's an insurrection. I was removed from the Intel Committee.
But I can promise you this. This is not the end of my fight for our democracy. This is just the beginning. Please join us and contribute today. Thank you.
You know what that little sound is? You probably don't, because you're not, you know, sucked into a Chinese app. That is TikTok. That's a little TikTok video. Xi Jinping got to watch that video before the rest of us. He had an early access to that chuckle fest. It's a grave day for America. I was removed from the Intel Committee. You see Matt Gaetz, what he did today to Adam Schiff? He introduced a piece of legislation. He called it the Pencil Act. It stands for Preventing Extreme Negligence with Classified Information Licenses. Pencil. Yeah, Matt Gaetz. Little trolling of old pencil neck Adam Schiff. It's 358.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.